It's Tuesday, it's 12 o'clock, and you're tuned into Fine Music Radio, which means you're also tuned into Book Choice with me, your host, Paige Nick. And this is our special Publisher's Choice edition, which we have once a month, which means we're joined by three of South Africa's top publishers, Penguin Random House, Jonathan Ball, and Pan Macmillan, as well as South Africa's favorite bookseller, Exclusive Books. And they're going to come on the show, each of them in a segment, and tell us what they're reading, what they've got coming out in the next month, what people are buying, and give us some insight into the ins and outs of the publishing industry. So this really is our behind-the-scenes book choice show. We've got a wonderful hour planned for you, and all of this book talk is going to be bookended with some fantastic fine music. This is Fine Music Radio after all. So let's get the show started. Because it's nearing lunchtime, I thought we would start off this week's show with Butcher Bricker from Exclusive Books, because in this week's show, Butcher's going to be talking about all the great cookbooks that they've got on their shelves right now. So that should whet your appetite for your lunch and for what books you want to buy in the upcoming months. The other thing to remember is that if you need to buy anybody a present in the upcoming months, cookbooks make a great gift, and they don't just have to be for somebody who's really into cooking. They have so many different kinds of cookbooks these days, from novice all the way through to professional and everything in between, every imaginable diet, every imaginable kind of cooking and kind of food. So it's a really lovely idea to give a cookbook as a gift. So I want to hand over to Batya. Welcome to the show. Let's hear what you've got cooking.
If what's for supper is a refrain not far from your ears at any given time, I can certainly relate. My name is Batya Bricker, the GM of Books and Brand, but also a passionate home cook and, of course, a bookseller. And that's why this book was and still is just magic. It's called Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus, and it has been a repeated bestseller for good reason. It's laugh-out funny, shrewdly observant, vibrant, and original. And the chemist, Elizabeth Zott, is utterly lovable. If you haven't yet fallen in love with her, you absolutely have to watch the Netflix series, but even better, read the book. Elizabeth finds herself the reluctant star of America's most beloved cooking show, Supper at Six. And her unusual approach to cooking, combine one teaspoon acetic acid with a pinch of sodium chloride, proves revolutionary. But as her following grows, not everyone is happy, because as it turns out, Elizabeth Zott isn't just teaching women to cook. She's daring them to change the status quo. It's a marvelous read. Cooking and the world of cookbooks have come a long way since the 1960s and Elizabeth Zott. Scroll on Instagram or TikTok, and in minutes you have access to any recipe inspiration you can dream of. Every diet has its accompanying cookbook. Low carb, keto, etc. have taken over from Whole Food. And new technology has introduced us to countless gizmos and gadgets inspiring a whole new way of cooking. Think the slow cooker, but more recently, the air fryer. Still, for all the technology and fast cooking, there is something irresistible about cracking the spine of a new physical cookbook that can inspire and tantalize, introducing new ways of cooking and thinking about food. With the traditional emphasis on recipes, contemporary cookbooks are becoming a feast for the eyes. They focus profoundly on stunning photography and visuals that tantalize the reader and the cook long before entering the kitchen. And if you've ever sat in a restaurant with fellow patrons taking snaps of their food before tucking in, you will know that recipes now need to be as Instagrammable as they are delicious to eat and easy to follow. The rise of the celebrity chef has made bestsellers out of international personalities like Jamie Oliver and Nigella Lawson, and locally chefs like Jan Bry and Ruben Riffel. But this month, we have two so-called celeb chef books, releasing totally fabulous cookbooks, books that are as much about storytelling as they are about the food. In fact, each dish tells a tale. The first is Recipes to Die, Live For, a Tunny Maria cookbook by Sally Andrew. Tunny Maria, everyone's favorite amateur detective and agony aunt, you'll know her from the most recent Milk Tart Murders, has finally heeded the call of her fans countrywide to produce her very first cookbook. Recipes to Die or Live For features recipes from Sally Andrews' first four murder mystery novels, as well as some tantalizing new additions. It also includes letters written to Tani Maria's love advice and recipe column, and it's seasoned with photographs of the food and the beautiful Karoo. It's as warm and witty as Tani Maria herself, guaranteed to delight fans and newcomers to the series. Personally, I cannot actually wait to bake the Venus cake. As Tani Maria says, this cake is one of my best inventions ever, out of this world, with my favorite ingredients, chocolate, coffee, cream, apricot jam, and peanut butter. Oh my, oh my. Trofro Mzanzi by the best-selling Sylvia Strauss is as much an ode to our country as it is a book of recipes. Using Nkosi Sikelel' Afrika as the backdrop to the food, this book is an invitation, beckoning us back to a place where fellowship and good food meet. It's a celebration of the spicy, the flavorful, the unique mix of ingredients and stories from all different South African cultures that make up this beautiful place we call Mzanzi. Whenever we gather around a table, there's always space for one more, and we enrich each other. Food served with generosity of spirit entices us to linger, to listen, and connect. I love how Sylvia has drawn parallels between the Makoti, you'll know the famous Lazy Makoti book, and the Trofro, because no matter your title or your identity, simple meals prepared with love transcend any boundaries or cultural differences. This is strictly South African fare. Peppermint crisp tart to amaizi tart, malva pudding to the telephone pudding cousin, the yoda tart, and even chutney, peppered with nostalgic stories and heartfelt blessings for our land under African skies. As our globalized world becomes more interconnected, so do the flavors and traditions shaping our kitchens. Contemporary cookbooks are increasingly becoming a tapestry of diverse culinary influences, and by weaving together ingredients, techniques, and inspirations from around the globe, this reflects a kind of openness to experimentation for home cooks and chefs alike. In Mexico, in Mzanzi, chef and PE restaurant owner Aidan Pinar brings local flair to some traditional Mexican favorites. This cookbook is filled with a surprising array of flavors and influences to excite even the most experienced chefs and exhausted home cooks. By thinking a little outside the box and using South African ingredients and cooking techniques, you have burri tacos and fried corn. Chef Aidan gives Mexican cuisine Mzanzi-style facelift. From classics such as mole, refried beans and nachos, to innovations like Mexican chakalaka, chica con carne fetcook, and sosati tacos, these recipes will delight, inspire, and they're easy to follow with minimal prep. In addition, Chef Aidan will teach you how to make your own tortillas and salsas, how to present tacos, enchiladas, and quesadillas, as well as introduce you to different cook methods from braising and grilling to air frying. And that's not to mention the delicious desserts to round off your meals. When talking cookbooks, we cannot ignore the tidal wave vegan and vegetarian has extended across the realm of recipes, encompassing a lifestyle that celebrates the richness of plant-derived ingredients. Vegan and vegetarian cookbooks showcase innovative approaches to crafting flavorful, satisfying dishes without relying on animal products. And everyone seems to be welcoming this meatless cuisine in some form or another. Two standout books that have been newly released include Joyful by Ruddy Devluka Shetty. This Ayurvedic cookbook is written by a passionate self-taught cook and nutritionist. It's called Joyful with a double L, and it's abundant and inviting with more than 125 plant-based recipes, and it's designed to balance health and satisfaction, her wide-ranging dishes bringing vibrant flavors to every meal of the day. Because food alone cannot sustain us completely, Radhi shares her daily wellness practices, her revitalizing morning skincare routine, ancient rituals to nourish and strengthen your hair, meditations and prayers for staying present, and breath work that will carry you through the phase of each day. The chapter names in this book will give you a sense of the spirit of the writing, easing in, how to live joyfully, awakening the fire, that's breakfast, sun to moon soups, or bowls of abundance, that's salads. Written with generosity and kindness, Radhi takes you on a journey towards a joyful, with a double L, life. Bibi's More Good Food embraces approachable food made with thoughtful consideration. Devoid of intimidating complexities, the recipes are for the most part simple, versatile, and straightforward. Expect an abundance of texture, contrast, and funky flavor enhancers. It's divided into 9 vibrantly fresh chapters, influenced largely by Middle Eastern and Mediterranean flavors. She advises on a well-stocked pantry and how to maximize all ingredients to their fullest. The busyness of weekdays is balanced with slower weekends, with gentle hours in the kitchen, which is just what's needed. All the recipes are beautifully styled and photographed by the author herself. And if you're after food that's less ordinary, this book is for you. These 5 glorious cookbooks, each with their own story to tell, are on the shelves of Exclusive Books right now. Embracing meals that are full, rich, diverse, and provide an ever-evolving gastronomic narrative through their pages and then ultimately through their dishes. Taste them all.
That was Batya Bricker, who is the head of books and brands at Exclusive Books, telling us about what they've got cooking on their shelves right now. You know, if the book you seek does truly exist, you'll absolutely, most definitely find it at your local Exclusive Books. You can also find Exclusive Books online, and they have fantastic social media presence, so you can also look them up. They're often giving away books. They'll tell you about what events are coming up in local stores near you and other interesting information. So how about a track before we head on to our publishers? This first track in today's show is called Melting in the Rain, and it's by Black Sunshine.
She could never bet to be in the world today. It's a shame, cause the rain doesn't like her face. So she whispers in my ear, remind me that she cares. It's that she's so afraid, she's so afraid of melting in the rain. I'm melting in the rain. Melting light. Melting light, melting light, melting light.
Welcome back. Next up, we have our very first publisher for today's show, and we welcome the Jonathan Ball Publishing team to the show. The John and the Bull publishing team are going to talk about something really interesting today. They're not just going to present some books to us. They do have some very exciting new titles to present. But before that, they're going to talk about how they've recently started making audiobooks. I love audiobooks. I have an Audible subscription, and I'm often reading a hardcover book, or a real book, as they say. I don't know what a fake book is, but I'm often reading a real book, and then I also have an audiobook going on at the same time, which I listen to while I'm running or walking or driving or doing household chores or traveling, and I really enjoy that. So audiobooks have added hugely to my reading life and has made it so much richer. It also, because I'm a little bit time-starved, I find that I get to read more because I can use listening time as well as reading time. So I'm very interested to hear about the making of audiobooks from the inside. And then after that, they're going to tell us about some political books they've got coming up, which is timeous considering we're heading towards our elections. So this is going to be a really fascinating segment, I think. Welcome to the show to the entire Jonathan Ball publishing team.
Thank you for the introduction, Paige. My name is Jane, and I am representing the Jonathan Ball publicity team. In this Publisher's Choice episode, we have a carefully created lineup featuring two distinct segments. Firstly, we'll be delving into our recent foray into audiobooks, exploring the intricacies and offerings of this exciting medium. Giving more insight into this will be Babungile Zulu and editor Jonathan Ball, Joanne Joseph, and Jonathan Ansom. Following that, we'll shift our focus to the political pulse of our authors, providing insights into their perspectives amidst pre-election fever. Give a close listen to two of our upcoming titles that focus on South Africa's political landscape, and of course, a favorite of ours, Justice Malala. So without further delay, let's embark on a journey through the world of literature and discourse.
Hello listeners, I'm Babungile Zulu. I'm here to tell you a little bit about what we're up to at Jonathan Ball Publishers. I personally have only recently started listening to audiobooks, and it's been a really great alternative to consume books. When the narrator is just right for the story, one can lose all sense of time. So a little over a year ago, we took the bold step of creating audiobooks from some of our books. It's been a really amazing journey of discovery, from partnering with sound engineers, finding the appropriate voice artists, and working out just how to distribute an audiobook. We do our best to make an audiobook available at the same time as the printed book is launched. This is so readers can have their pick of either print, ebook, or audiobook. Our audiobooks are available across all platforms globally. Be it Audible, Apple, Google Drive, Kobo, you name it, you'll find our audiobooks there. They can also be found in numerous libraries that now lend out digital audiobooks. As with physical and ebooks, there are many platforms available to publishers and independent self-published authors to distribute their books after publication. At Jonathan Ball, we found that a platform called Findaway was the best fit for us, as uploading and distribution is a nicely laid out and really easy process to follow. It's been an exciting journey to see how far-reaching the sales of our audiobooks have been all over the world, in territories such as Kenya, Sweden, Tanzania, and even in North Korea. These are encouraging statistics as we bed down marketing and publicity strategies for our growing offering of audiobooks. Next month in April, we'll be promoting our audiobooks a little louder than usual. Our audiobook launch we're calling Listen to Our Stories. And we've got some fantastic audiobooks available. And to name a few, The Children of Sugar Cane by Joanne Joseph, beautifully read by Rosh Ratnam, Risking Life or Death by Ryan Blumenthal, read by Colin Moss, Breaking the Bombers by Mark Shaw, and read by well-known Cape Town actor Adrian Galley. And in a bit of breaking news, a new book called Bullshit, 50 Fibs That Made South Africa by Jonathan Anser is being read by none other than Rebecca Davis. That's due out in April, and I can't think of a better book to listen to as you decide who to vote for in the upcoming elections.
Hi, I'm Joanne Joseph, author of bestseller Children of Sugarcane. It was turned into an audiobook last year, read by the brilliant Roshina Ruthnam. One of our best decisions was getting a professional actress to read it. There was a lot of pre-production around the treatment of the audiobook and the complications of so many different accents. But Roshina had a great affinity with the text. She delivered it with real heart, and we've had great feedback. Audiobooks are still slowly catching on in South Africa, but just think of all the opportunities to consume them. During the glacial traffic that power cuts bestow, while you're working out, when you're doing the most mundane housework, or waiting for your child to emerge from an extramural. This is especially true if reading is a chore for you, for whatever reason. And if you're looking for the Children of Sugarcane audiobook version, you'll find it on Amazon Audible, Everand, formerly Scribd, Kobo, Google Play, Hoopla, audiobooks.com, Storytel, Binge Books, Libro.fm, Chirp, and Barnes & Noble.
Hello, Fine Music Radio listeners. My name is Jonathan Anser. I'm the author of Bullshit, 50 Fibs That Made South Africa. Bullshit takes you on a journey of our country's history through the fibs, falsehoods, fabrications, and outright lies we've been fed over the years. You'll not only find the book on shelves in bookstores countrywide, it'll also be available as an audiobook on Audible, Apple, and all other global platforms. The audiobook has been narrated by the excellent Rebecca Davis, who has done to the recording what the government has done to the economy. Crushed it. Bullshit will be on the shelves on the 2nd of April and will be out as an audiobook soon after. While Bullshit features tall tales like the Tembisa decuplets, the fraught milk pyramid scheme of the 1980s, and the prophet who raised the man from the dead, you won't be surprised to learn that many of the lies the book reveals have been made by politicians. We are approaching election season, which means we are entering bullshitting season. It will be a jungle out there, confusion and disorder everywhere. You'll be confronted with lies, half-truths, fake news, misinformation, disinformation, and deep fakes. There will be lies, damn lies, and promises to fix Eskom. By revealing politicians' past porkies, Bullshit will prepare you to untangle the facts from the fiction, the proper from the propaganda, and the bona fide from the bullshit during this election. Remember when P.W. Botha told the world that today we are crossing the Rubicon? He was bullshitting. And remember when President Ramaphosa told us a decade ago that load shedding will be gone in 18 months? Yep, he was bullshitting. And who can ever forget the famous Firepool fib? And then there are a whole bunch of lies told by a pathological flip-flopping member of parliament. And who was it that said, "I want my day in court"? Was it Jacob Zuma, who has spent more than 20 years fighting to avoid his day in court? And remember when JBM Herzog promised to free the slaves and give the woman the vote? Well, you'll have to be over 100 years old to remember that. But spoiler alert, Herzog was bullshitting. Bullshit exposes all those lies and more so that you'll be ready for this election season when politicians are in lying overdrive. So please turn on your bullshit detector, and when you hear a politician bending the truth, call bullshit. Thanks very much from me, Jonathan Anser, author of Bullshit, 50 Fibs That Made South Africa, which will be available on the 2nd of April.
My book, How to Fix a Country or How to Unbeep a Country, is all about six things that we can do to reboot South Africa. We are not the first country to find ourselves in a difficult place. China was once very poor. India in 1991 ran out of money. South Korea was super dependent on grants from the United States. And Vietnam was obviously nearly obliterated in a war. Today, they are economic powerhouses, growing fast and lifting millions of their people out of poverty. How can we do the same thing? Well, I suggest that there are six basic things to do, and they all start with E. Eskom, unsurprising for any South African, education, the environment, exports, equality, and ethics. I look around the world and suggest ways that we can get things moving again. I also look at the idea of a delivery unit, something in South Africa called Operation Vulindlela, and how that can be used to make things work better. But don't believe me, believe what Carol Payton said. She said very kindly, this book will make you smarter. And also, Hilary Joffing said that this was thought-provoking and makes economics accessible and fun. Well, I hope so, because I really enjoy the discipline.
Hello, everyone. My name is Justice Malala, author of the book The Plot to Save South Africa. Many of us forget that in the years just before 1994, this was a country filled with death, fear, and uncertainty. We knew we had to get rid of apartheid, but we were uncertain what would come afterwards. In the years between 1990 and 1994, an average of 4,000 people a year died in political violence in South Africa. The Plot to Save South Africa is set in this violent and uncertain time. on Easter Saturday, the 10th of April 1993, an assassin who wanted to derail the negotiations for peace followed ANC leader Chris Hani to his home outside Johannesburg. He shot and killed him in front of his 13-year-old daughter. South Africa exploded. There were violent protests from Limpopo to Cape Town. Nelson Mandela and F.W. de Klerk both said if there was a day they thought South Africa would descend into war, it was the 10th of April 1993. Yet, that didn't happen. Why? It was leadership. The two men spoke to each other in the aftermath of the killing. F.W. de Klerk stepped back from the front line and Mandela acted as the president of the country. He went on national television and gave a speech that calmed the nation down and exposed the nefarious plot of Hani's killers. My book is about how essential it is that in these upcoming elections, we all choose leaders who will help navigate our nation towards peace, unity, and prosperity. We need to ask ourselves, what would the leader I choose now have done faced with the choices Mandela and de Klerk faced in that week? Do they have the values to help us through the challenging times our nation faces? We need to make good, sober choices for South Africa, for our continent, and for democracy all over the world. And perhaps this book can help. My name is Justice Malala, author of The Plot to Save South Africa. Vote, my beloved people.
Thank you for tuning in. Until next time.
Thank you, Jonathan Ball. That was so interesting. I often think about the voices that they use for audiobook recordings, because sometimes you can download a book and start listening to it, and the voice can be quite annoying. And it really takes away from your enjoyment of the book. In fact, there have been a few that I've returned because I haven't enjoyed the voice. So I think that's such an important aspect. And it's so interesting with an audiobook that it has absolutely nothing to do with the writing or the editing or the cover design or the formatting, that literally a voice can put you off of an entire book. So voice choices, always interesting. I also personally, I really enjoy it often when the author reads the book. I find you get a whole new perspective if they have a nice voice. It gives me a whole new perspective on the words and on how it's written. So, how about another track? That was Englishman in New York by Charles Duplessis and Zanta Hoffmeyer. And you're tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice, on Fine Music Radio with me, your host, Paige Nick. One of our very special Publisher's Choice editions where we have three of South Africa's top publishers and South Africa's, well, everybody's favorite bookseller, Exclusive Books, joining us in the studio to tell us about what they've got going on their shelves. So we've already heard from Exclusive Books, and we just heard from the Jonathan Ball publishing team. And now we'd like to welcome the Penguin Random House publishing team to the show. They have two really big titles that are about to launch, and these are going to be huge sellers. So I think Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House is going to tell us about those. The first is a brand new title by Robin Sharma, which is always a huge event on the literary scene. And the second is a launch of a new novel by Marion Keyes, which is also equally a massive event on the literary scene. People buy these books in their millions. So she's such a remarkable author. I really think she's broken the mold. I hate the term chick lit. I like to think of it more as uplit. And I think she's broken the mold in how she's done it. These writers are remarkable. They write about really serious subjects, but in such a light way. And when you read it, it seems really easy, but it's an incredibly difficult thing to achieve. And they're masterful. And I often think that people don't give them credit for their talent because the content is perhaps lighter. So welcome to the show, Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House. I am very interested in these two books. Let's hear all about them.
Hello, FMR listeners, and thank you, Paige, once again for having me back. This is Viz Chetty, as Paige has mentioned, from Penguin Random House, coming to you with all the biggest of the biggest April releases that we've had. I think at Penguin Random House, April has become such a huge month for us, and we can't wait to bring all these wonderful books out, and I can't wait to tell you about a few of them now, so I'm going to jump right into it. The first one is arguably our biggest book for the year. It is a nonfiction book, and it's by the much-loved, world-renowned Robin Sharma. The book is called The Wealth Money Can't Buy. The Wealth Money Can't Buy. It is classic Robin Sharma, and in his own words, he said this is the most important book that he's ever written, and we believe it. It's a wonderful book. I really say this about personal development books, and it's just lovely. So I hope that all you readers will see it and pick it up, and it will give you such a wonderful take on how to have a very full and rich life, not just wealth. So the eight pillars that he describes in this book are obviously money, it's craft or your work as a habit, family, wellness, growth, service to others, a sense of adventure, community. And doesn't that sound like eight really good things to live by? So I think this book is going to appeal to anybody who loves self-development. People who love the 5 a.m. club are going to pick this one up. You're going to want to have it in your collection on your bookshelves, and you're going to want to read it and refer to it all the time. So it's, like I said, one of the biggest books that Penguin Random House has is going to publish this year. We're very lucky to have Robin on our list because he chose to come to us, and we're so, so lucky for that. So look out for it, guys. In April, The Wealth Money Can't Buy by Robin Sharma. Big one for us. The next one I'm going to go through is another much-loved author on the Penguin Random House list. It's Marianne Keyes. The book is called My Favorite Mistake, and it's classic Marianne Keyes. It's funny. It's charming. It's heartfelt. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful read. Every time we bring out a new Marianne Keyes, our audience and our readers and you guys out there just support it so well. And I want to just thank you for that. The book is about a woman named Anna. She is the sister of Rachel. If you are a fan of Marianne Keyes, you will know that Rachel was published recently as well by us. And it was also a wonderful book. So this is about the sister of Rachel, who's Anna. And she lives in New York. She's lost her taste for the Big Apple. It's set around the COVID times where she had an apartment of her own, and she has to now move in with her rather, let's say, hippie sort of boyfriend, and not going well there. But overall, from the outside, she looks like she has a very enviable life. She has a nice apartment. He's very well-meaning, the partner, and she has a high-flying job in the beauty industry. Who wouldn't want that? And it turns out Anna is turning a minor midlife crisis into a major life event. She burns a lot. She heads back to Ireland, gets a PR job for a super high-end coastal resort, and that's tougher than it sounds. The newsflash is the locals hate it so much so there's been threats and violence. Anna, however, worked in the beauty industry. There's no ugliness she hasn't seen, no wrinkles she can't smooth over, and Anna's got this. Until she discovers that leaving New York doesn't mean escaping her mistakes. Once upon a time, she'd had a best friend. Once upon a time, she'd loved a man. Now she has neither, and now she has to face them. It's a wonderful book. I think if you are looking, even if you haven't read a Marianne Keyes before, you're going to want to pick this up and you're going to just adore it and become an instant fan of her. The next one is Leigh Bardugo's The Familiar. It's her first foray into adult publishing. She's written a few YA novels, but this is her first adult novel. And we, again, very excited to have her on the list. And I think that she is such a wonderful, wonderful writer. It's set in Madrid and the main character's name is Lucia Cortado. And she's a scullion in this very wealthy family. And she works in the kitchen and she, you know, does whatever they need her to do, clean and all that sort of stuff. But she has a talent. She has this power that she uses sometimes in her work. And one day this power is discovered by her mistress. And that sets her up to all the way up to the Spanish nobility, because this family wants to take advantage of her not so secret powers now. So she is now being used by one of the secretaries of the king to fight in the war or use her powers in the war. It's a really interesting, layered, beautifully written novel. Again, big, big publication for us this year. If you're a fan of Leigh Bardugo, if you haven't read her before because she's YA, I think as an adult novel, this is really, really strong. So look out for it. It's called The Familiar, and that's Leigh Bardugo. Another one is one of my firm favorites. It's called Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Guidara. And it is about service. That's basically what it is. He was one of the managers of a really popular restaurant in New York called 11 on Madison. And in 2010, they were put last on the top 50 restaurants in the world. He made a commitment that he will not be the bottom of that list ever again. So what he decided to do was focus on service, and not just service and hospitality, but unreasonable hospitality. So it's all about how he transformed their business from being last on that list to number one on that list. And all they focused was on hospitality and treating people wonderfully as they came into the restaurant. And it was a huge success. This could be one of those books that will be on the shelves for many, many years, I think. And I think lots of people who love business books, who have businesses, will benefit from it. These principles cannot be used just in a hospitality setting. It can be used in any business. So I think it's a wonderful book. It's written well. It's heartfelt as well. It's very personal to him. So I would look out for that. Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Guidara. The next one is The Hunter by Tana French. Now, you might know her from a few of the other books. The Searcher was one of them. I would recommend you read The Searcher before you read this one. It's not necessary, but it will give you a bit of insight into two of the main characters in this book, which is Trey and Kel. So the story is about a retired Chicago PD police officer, and he moves back to rural Ireland just to get away from Chicago and find peace and relax into his retirement. When he gets there, he meets a local woman by the name of Lena. And that relationship starts to blossom well. And what they do is they take in a young woman by the name of Trey Reddy, who she's half feral, and just help her out in life. But then Trey's long absent father reappears, and he comes along with a millionaire, English millionaire, and they have a scheme on how to find gold in this little town that they live in. And that's where the story starts to turn for everyone. It's very nuanced, it's atmospheric, it's set in a beautiful setting of Western Ireland. And it's just a wonderful novel. Starts off a little slow, I would say, but once you get past about 20-30% of the book, you become highly, highly invested, and you will see what a gorgeous writing style she has. That's called The Hunter, and it's by Tana French. Then the last one is one of our local authors. It's the wonderful Warren Ingram. He's written a book called Small Changes for Big Results. It is money management, life management, and atomic habits, all of these things all meshed in together. And he gives you tips and tricks on how to better your circumstances, not just your financial circumstances, but everything else in life. So these principles will help you in all aspects of life. And it all starts with small things. So little habits that you can develop as you go on to achieve great things. And I think that with this book, what he's done really well is he's teamed up with a psychologist by the name of Mark Lukacznik. And both of them, you know, he's a qualified psychologist. So there's a real impact on There's a real focus rather on the psychology of us and how you see yourself and how you see money and how you, your attitude towards it or your view of it. And that affects how you spend. Look out for that one. Small Changes for Big Results. The wonderful Warren Ingram and Mark Lukacznik. That's it, folks. That's all I have for this month. Like I said, lots and lots of publications coming out this month, but those are some of our bigger ones. I will be back in May where we've got more. We always have more, and we will cover those in the next segment. Thank you very much, and happy reading.
That was Viz Chetty from Penguin Random House. telling us about what they've got going on their shelves right now. You can find Penguin Random House on all social media, as you can with all these publishers. Again, they do lots of book giveaways. They have very exciting content across the channels, from TikTok to Facebook to X to everywhere you can imagine, and their website is also lovely. So if you want some added value, if you enjoy books and you want to be the first to know what's coming out, or if you want to win prizes or find out what events are going on at a bookstore near you, then definitely look them up on social media. We're going to go into another track before we hear from our final publisher for today's show. This is The Voice by Salem Kaji here on Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio. Stay tuned. That was The Voice by Salem Kaji here on Fine Music Radio, and you're tuned into the very last segment in this month's Book Choice, Publisher's Choice with me, your host, Paige Nick, where we talk to South Africa's top three publishers and everybody's favorite bookseller, exclusive books, about what they're publishing right now. Last but not least, we welcome Shakti Pillay from the Pan Macmillan team, who's here to tell us about their extra special Easter Pick bookshelf. Hi, Shakti. What have you been reading?
Hi, everyone. Shakti here, back from Pan Macmillan, South Africa. I hope you're all doing well. April is upon us, and as we crumple the last bits of Easter egg wrappers and enjoy the cinnamony warmth of hot cross buns, topped with softened butter and a good slice of cheese, or at least that's my preference, Easter holidays signal a new month ripe with new books. Pan Macmillan is delighted to share our hot-off-the-press titles, that are sure to be your next read. You may remember Zibu Sithole as the author who brought you the gorgeous debut, The Thing with Zola, last year. The Thing with Zola follows the lead character Zola, an impassioned and ambitious city girl figuring out what her next steps are whilst challenging life and all its curveballs, from managing her dynamic friendships to a whirlwind romance and new career. It's the ultimate flirty, fun rom-com novel, heartfelt with coming of age and the glaring trials of womanhood that many of us can resonate with, and is set against the electric backdrop of Johannesburg and Germany. Now, Zola is back in I Do, Don't I, the sequel to The Thing with Zola. I Do, Don't I picks up right where The Thing with Zola cliffhangers. Zola is proposed to by her boyfriend at the airport just before she takes off on a life-changing journey. In I Do, Don't I, Zola teeters between whether this is the commitment she is ready to make or not. Zibu Sithole, the author of I Do, Don't I, and the ever-present hopeless romantic, shared her thoughts about her writing journey in the form of a love letter filled with gems that we wanted to share with you. Dear reader, welcome to another romantic adventure. We've met, fallen in and out of love, and realized what really matters with Zola just a few months ago, and somehow it feels like we've known her all our lives. She's smart, ambitious, and just like the rest of us, she's flawed. She is every girl in many ways. Even the ukuleles amongst us can relate to her at one point or another. Watching her fall in love with Mbali, and more importantly, seeing herself as she is and without pretense, has been life-changing in more ways than one. Firstly, my debut novel has changed the path of my writing career. And secondly, writing the story of a township girl coming home and coming into herself has been cathartic. The autobiographical flecks in the story are more glaring now than they were at the time of writing, and I have been thrilled to hear how many see themselves in the story too. Though Zola is undoubtedly the main character in her own story, I am glad we have also come to appreciate the people around her and the lives they live in the background of her whirlwind romance. Their lives and how closely they resemble many of our own have become part of many important conversations around the role of firstborn daughters, mother-son relationships, and the pressure we all put on ourselves under to achieve set goals at set times with no room for life getting in the way. It will, and it does. I've definitely grown since the release of The Thing with Zola, and so have Zola, Mbali, Okuhle, and even Gunter. It isn't a spoiler by any means for I Do, Don't I. We have caught wedding fever, but how do you know if you're ready to get married or should get married at all? What does culture and tradition have to do with it? And when should you abandon the idea completely? It's a lot to think about. There will be heartbreaking twists, bitter truths, and tons of drama, naturally. But I hope it also makes you laugh. I hope it offers you a different perspective so we can learn and laugh at ourselves at the end of it. As always, I hope it fuels your love of love. Love's number one fan, Zibu. In keeping with the theme of heartfelt stories, I am sure you've been inundated with the Oscars fanfare, but one of the highlights of the night was when the film American Fiction won the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay. We're absolutely thrilled about this because Percival Everett, who wrote the novel Erasure, which the film American Fiction is adapted from, has written a brand new novel which critics are already saying could become another huge publication and film success. If you haven't watched the film American Fiction, watch it. But if you haven't as yet been introduced to the brilliant mind of Booker Prize shortlisted author Percival Everett, then be welcomed by his newest work of fiction, James. James is an enthralling and ferociously funny reimagining of Mark Twain's The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, told from the perspective of the enslaved Jim. Jean Seymour, a reviewer of The New Republic, penned an exquisite review about James. She noted that Everett's James isn't out to displace Mark Twain's book. It's carrying out a bolder, more ingenuous, and characteristic of its author's more subversive agenda. James is out to fill in the blank space left in Twain's characterization of Jim, and in doing so, accomplishes something far more meaningful for Jim than excising an offensive word. Though Jim is just as vulnerable to the humiliation and danger that plagued every enslaved black person in the antebellum border state of Missouri, Everett endows Jim with greater dimension and nuance than his originator did. Huckleberry Finn provided Jim with courage, dignity, and virtue. James bestows upon him the greater, if more complicated, privilege of full, if not yet unfettered, humanity. One strand from Mark Twain's novel that Everett teases out with even greater ingenuity is the bond between Huck and Jim, which over decades has been the subject of critics' speculation. Perhaps it was the kind of mystery that needed nearly a century and a half to be resolved. And it figures that the one who came up with the solution was a black cowboy philosopher who delighted in the process of solving problems without caring whether he reached the solution. This time, he did. And it's exactly the kind of solution that you should care about. Though I'll go to hell, as Twain's Huck once famously vowed, rather than tell you what it is. So if you'd like to read more about this, do get your hands on a copy of James by Percival Everett. It's just been released in stores. Then, for all the fans of multi-million copy best-selling author David Baldacci, mark your calendars for a new standalone release from the author that takes you to the action and leaves no stone unturned. This time, David Baldacci delivers A Calamity of Souls, set in the tumultuous year of 1968 in Southern Virginia. A murder case sets a duo of white and black lawyers against a deeply unfair system as they work to defend their wrongfully accused black defendants in their courtroom drama. Join lawyers Jack Lee and Desiree Dubois as they team up to bring justice before a corrupt legal system. No one does legal fiction better than the master, as coined by Jeffrey Archer. To end off Pan Macmillan's list of recommended reads for April, we wanted to leave you with another proudly South African story that we are very honored to be publishing. Alistair McAlpine, a South African palliative pediatrician practicing in Canada, went viral in 2018 when he posted a thread on Twitter. The thread posted by Alistair started with, "For an assignment, I asked some of my terminal pediatric palliative care patients what they had enjoyed in life and what gave it meaning. Kids can be so wise, you know. Here are some of their responses. What followed was as much a testament to the innocence of children as it was an eye-opening earmark of what it means to be human and finding joy in simple pleasures. Some of the answers included swimming and the beach. Some mentioned playing with their pets. Some included reading time with their parents. But all answers included eating ice cream. Prescription Ice Cream is a memoir soaked with anecdotes from Alistair's intern days at Baragwanath Hospital, and enlightened with his past alcohol addictions, is crafted around his calling for palliative care. It is a moving, heart-rending chronicle of what it means to be a doctor in South Africa, and it is a work of solace for many who journey on similar paths with a universal theme of purpose. Prescription Ice Cream will be in stores from mid-April, and Alistair will be in South Africa in May to launch his powerful chronicle. So keep an eye on the Pan Macmillan social media pages for more updates on upcoming book launches and releases. Until next time, happy reading, and join us in the next segment where we gear up for the not-to-be-missed literary festivals in May.
Wow, Shakti, that was quite a mix of extremes, from uplit all the way to fiction and nonfiction, and ending off with that very interesting sounding book by the pediatric specialist. I just love that list. And I'm glad that you mentioned the book festivals coming up, because we've got a very special show coming up this April where the entire hour will be dedicated to everything to do with the Franschhoek Literary Festival, which is coming up in May. They're going to be talking about what authors are coming, which panels you absolutely have to go and book tickets for, and giving you all the ins and outs about the festival. So that's going to be a really special edition show that we're looking forward to this April. Now, before I wrap up the show, I always like to tell you a little bit about what I've been reading. I recently finished a book called The Vulnerables by Sigrid Nunes. I have mentioned that I was reading it on the show before, but I finally finished it. My guilty truth is that I should have finished this book ages ago, but I've been reading it very, very, very slowly. In fact, I read it so slowly that at some point I actually went back to the beginning and I started it all over again, because I suddenly started to get into the book and I wanted to make sure I hadn't missed any of the good stuff earlier, which I had, so it was a good thing that I went back. This is one of those books where the first time something actually happens in the story is around page 33. So you could say that this book houses a very solid plot within a ramble, or within rather many, many rambles about everything from what a host of famous authors have to say about the first line of a book and assorted other writing topics and issues, as well as rambles about Trump and politics, American politics mostly, and COVID and death and life and friendship and parrots. So if you like a narrative plot that thrills and gallops ahead, then this definitely isn't a novel for you. But if you're the kind of reader who's partial to interesting characters, deep literary thought, fascinating references that segue in and out of the story, then you should enjoy this book, The Vulnerables. As I read, I kept kind of wanting the author to go back into the storyline, which is about this woman and a young man, these two strangers, who somehow end up house-sitting a parrot in an apartment in New York City during the depths of COVID lockdown. But as much as I wanted to go back into the story, I was still also really loving the thought processes that the author was mulling through in between his little plot points. And I noticed that the shout on the back of the book is by Anne Enright, who says, "Nunez has a wry compassion and an eye for the kind of detail only grown-ups can catch." And I love Anne Enright, and of course she gets it so right. That's exactly the experience that I had of this novel, but she obviously verbalizes it so much smarter. So that's The Vulnerables by Sigrid Nunez. This is literary fiction and painfully honest, rather funny, quite dry, and very smart and intelligent. So that's what I've been reading. And with that, we can wrap up this week's show. And we're going to play out with a song. The Soweto String Quartet are playing us out with Blue Fountain. And I want to thank all the publishers who came on today's show. There were a few authors there as well telling us about their books, as well as exclusive books. Thank you, Batya Bricka, for coming on the show. I also want to thank Mzu for building the show for us and for selecting, curating, and compiling the music. You make us sound good and you make the music sound good. So let's play Blue Fountain by Soweto String Quartet. And until we meet again in 2 weeks from now, Tuesday from 12 to 1 p.m., happy reading.